That's Big Bill Brunzy at the Saturday Light Brigade. Says Savannah is here, and Savannah is the friend of Ellie, who is here. And there's all sorts of relationships here. It's really neat. Savannah is taking lessons. Do you want to say hi, Savannah? Hang on. Let me do the gymnastics I need to do. I think your mic's on now. Hello.
Hello.
I did it. Okay, and you're taking fiddle lessons? No, Ellie is taking fiddle lessons. Do you play an instrument, Savannah?
I used to play trumpet, but I don't play anymore.
That's hard after a while to get that armature and everything going.
Yeah, it gets really hard.
What school do you go to?
I go to Neil Armstrong. It's in Bethel Park now. I'm just visiting because I moved a little bit ago, and now I'm visiting her.
So you used to go to the same school, but mm-hmm. not anymore. How long ago did you move?
I moved, last year.
And how old are you?
I'm 11.
How has it been, making new friends and stuff?
It's been hard, but, yeah, it's been easy.
Yeah,
It's like a little bit of both, basically.
I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, you got to miss people you've known for a long time.
Yeah.
And it is kind of hard and even a little scary, but you seem like a pleasant enough person that people would want to be friends with you, too. So that's where the easy part comes in. How did you two meet?
We just, met
on the bus.
Yeah, we met on the bus. She said hi to me, and I was, a little shy.
She was very shy.
She was? Okay, and this is Ellie. So what did you do to get her to speak to you? You just shake her up a little bit?
No, I didn't really do anything. We just became friends over time in kindergarten. I remember every day I would go home and I'd talk to my older sister and I would be, Savannah did this, Savannah did that, oh my gosh.
Now, are you also 11?
Yeah.
And what school do you go to?
I go to Edgewood Elementary.
Ah, okay. I used to live right down the street from Edgewood Elementary. I lived on Race Street and used to walk up near Edgewood. And you are the daughter of Richard Withers, and you are taking fiddle lessons from Mark Tamsula.
Yep.
And what's Ken Waldman doing for you? I mean, he's every man here is having an impact on your life. I mean, I'm putting you on the radio.
These one of my CDs and book is what she'll do.
Say that again.
I'm the visiting celebrity.
The visiting?
What can I say?
It's nice to have you here, to both of you here.
Thank you.
And also Richard's wife is here. And it's a real pleasure. Mark Tamsula, you may well know as just a great Pittsburgh stalwart multi-instrumentalist, great quality song collector, teaches many people. And Richard is new to me. I'm really happy to meet him here today. And he'll be playing banjo and flute. And Ken Waldman is here. I would always say Ken Waldman lives in Alaska, but I don't know how many hours he spends in Alaska these days. I think you're on the road.
Well, I was here in April. And after being here in April, last time I was in Pittsburgh, I was at the festival in Juneau a couple weeks after that. So I was up in Alaska last April, and I was also up there in August. So it's been a couple times, but you could probably count the hours at least. I don't think it's more than 1,000, but it's more than 100 anyway.
Yeah, only in months starting with A. April, August, and that's it.
For now, we'll figure out. Maybe there'll be a 13th month that will start with A, and
I'll
show up there then.
I need to be careful. We'll start another word game here. I think you're really going to enjoy what you're about to hear. It's always fun for us. I'm not even going to describe it. You could just hear it. Here's Ken Waldman.
Oh, so should we start out playing? We're part of a show tonight up in Butler County, so we'll start out with what we'll start doing, in a sense. We're going to have more musicians up there. We'll tell you more about that. But why don't we start playing that Shove That Pig's Foot a Little Further Into the Fire. Start out, Mark, and we'll all start playing.
Thank you.
County tonight. Mark will be there. Richard will be there. Also, we're going to have Emily Pinkerton's going to be there. Don Sheehan's going to be there. A fellow named Dan Marcus, who I haven't met yet, he's going to be there. A fellow named Ernie Hawkins is going to be there. And we're going to start out up there, not playing this tune, but there's going to be six of us playing with various fiddles, banjos, guitar, mandolin. And I'll be playing, then I'm going to stop, just like I've done here, and I'm going to do a poem. I think I'll do this poem called Old Time String Band Jam. When three fiddlers sit with a banjo player and guitarist and chairs tight and a closed little ring, no matter what you've been taught, no matter your ear, you know when musicians bob and sway and shake like a flood of sound dammed in a sea, listen well. You'll hear moonshine and mountain joined at the peak, crooked creek crashing its banks, quick twist of hind leg catching brush, a leathery old rattler slithering beneath. Play it one more time.
Kent Waldman, along with Mark Tamsola and Richard Withers. Kent, I never noticed that your banjo posture is a little unusual.
Or my fiddle posture.
Or your fiddle. Yes, a banjo.
it's radio, so people are thinking, "Oh, no. The fiddling poet's playing banjo." I don't mean to correct you. I don't want to usurp your authority.
No. You should. It's just I'm doing that a lot. Like, you know, I turned 50. About a month ago, and I think it happened just like I'm having speakos. You know, we all have typos. I have specographic errors where, of course, I meant to say fiddle, but I'm glad. You're holding the fiddle sort of southward down. Rather than north.
Well, the fiddle turned 52. So
that's right. Well, actually, sometimes, and the way I, you know, hold the bow, too, I mean, it's,
I think it's, that. Yeah.
You know, for old-time music, and Mark can talk more about that, too, but I do a lot of work in schools. Last week, I was in a 3 days in a school outside Bethesda, or near Bethesda, Maryland. This week, I was in a school with high schoolers out in Rockwood, Pennsylvania. But sometimes the elementary schoolers who are taking fiddle lessons say, because we have a question and answer, it's interactive, they'll say, you know, Ken or Mr. Walbin, do you know you're holding it wrong? And I say, well, I'm holding it. I just say there's lots of ways of playing, and you can learn by, you know, somebody can show you things, but you can also learn by watching. And I've seen other people hold it this way. And I started playing in my 20s. I didn't start till I was 25. And I also played a lot by myself in Alaska in a cabin, and it worked for me to get to where I am today. So that's why it's maybe a little unusual.
Yeah, and I partly wanted to paint the picture as you're listening. I guess the best way to explain it is the neck is pointing at a downward angle rather than an upward angle.
So, like that? Is that how people hold it sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. And he's playing a little bit more towards the bottom of the bow. And it's intro. You'll see that tonight if you go to Butler. But just as you're listening, and it is true, there's so many self-taught or family-taught musicians whose form is very successful. But is completely their own.
It works for them. But it's like that with everything else, too, with all sorts of art forms. So, yeah.
So what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Let's see. I was here in April, month that starts with A. And after that, boy, I was up in Alaska. I was in California, Arizona. Summer, I had about a month in Colorado doing a lot of summer library programs, a lot of kids shows. This past fall, Mark and I did a couple shows. We did a show in Reading, Pennsylvania, did a show in Confluence, Pennsylvania, where Mark also brought, you know, had his CDs with Up in the Batten House with Richard that has been a hit throughout Pennsylvania. I'm trying to think what else. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was in Austin, Texas. And as I was mentioning, I met Pam Lieberman from the Pittsburgh Children's Festival.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh International Children's Festival. And she mentioned how good a time she had in Austin.
Yeah.
Mark has a great CD out with Pennsylvania Tunes, and that's been doing well, I hope.
Oh, it's been doing great. We put it out. Richard and I did it last spring. Had a great year for the first year of it. We're working on the second one. And hopefully that gets completed. We'll come back and do a bit more of those tunes for you.
Yeah, that's a neat CD because the keys are all there. You can sort of learn how to play those songs in addition to listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
And Richard, anything? Are you from Edgewood?
Well, I live over in Forest Hills.
Forest Hills, yeah. Okay. And,
yeah, we had a great time making that CD, and it's, I don't know if Mark's talked about it before, but there's a book put out by a fellow called Samuel Bayard, who was a professor at Penn State, and he went around throughout rural southwestern Pennsylvania collecting old fiddle tunes, and so this is it's a unique collection, and it's music from this area, and so it's all on the written page at this point, but we learned a bunch of the tunes and put them on a CD and had a lot of fun doing it.
That's great. Where is that CD if people want to take a look at it?
I direct sales to elderly instruments on the internet.
That's a great, and we're happy to mention elderly. They're in Michigan, and just a real, it's been a while since I've been to their website. It's fun. The music, the instruments, some of them are elderly, but they sell new instruments too, but
I'd say that if somebody just went to elderly instruments, they might have, you'd have to go to like Up in the Batten House is what they would look for, or how would they find it there?
Well, actually, I have a web page, so it's upinthebattenhouse.com. If you go there, you'll see what background information we put on the web page about the recording, and then it'll take you a link will take you to the sales.
And I suspect you'll have some tonight in Butler.
Oh, for sure,
We should. We'll give you some details about that event. Maybe you'll want to jot them down about what's happening tonight in Butler.
Yeah, because I think folks from Grove City aren't far from there, and you know, it's kind of almost midway between, isn't it?
Absolutely, and a lot of folks actually, Butler's not far away, with the exception of folks listening in Ohio. You might have a little bit of a longer drive, but Butler's fairly central.
Yeah, Indiana, you can get there. Clarion, you can get there, I think. And from Pittsburgh, especially on the north side, it's really easy.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful cast of people that are going to be there.
It's a cast of characters.
And what's the venue?
It's at Butler County Community College. It's called Suck Up Theater. It's about 450-seat theater, and they actually have pretty good advanced sales. So we're looking at a really nice turnout tonight.
Excellent. BC3, it's called, in the neighborhood, Butler County Community College.
Yeah, people could go to the website, Butler County Community College, and look up, I think, cultural arts or something. They have the whole, you know, bunch of the information about the show, and there may even be a flyer that mentions Mark and Richard, Ernie Hawkins, Emily Pinkerton, and once again, Don Sheehan and Dan Marcus. And we even have, some surprises in store. So it's Emily's also a clogger in addition to being a really fine singer and guitarist.
I've never seen Emily
banjo
clog.
Player. So she's going to be clogging tonight. And
she won the contest at Clifftop.
Last summer. So we'll have the dancing. We'll have all sorts of string band music. I have the poetry and spoken words. So you'll be getting a multidisciplinary evening of great entertainment and art is what you got.
Sounds terrific. That's tonight. Do you know the starting time?
Is it 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. That's at Butler County Community College.
And students, there's a discount for students if they show up for that.
They'll pay you. If you're a student, you'll get $1 at the door.
Oh, then now we're going to have to get a bigger theater, I think, for that.
And then you'll have to stamp the hand of whoever gives you the dollar. It's this whole reverse economy. This is what's been happening.
Cool.
I want to be sure we get lots of Ken Waldman attention here. It's always great to hear from you. What would you like to
I'd actually like to have them do a little duo thing, because what the show's going to be is a variety show. So we're going to have everybody show up at the beginning, and then different people are going to be doing short sets. So Mark and Richard are going to be doing a set. Emily, Don, and Dan are doing a set. Ernie's doing a solo set. Then I have different people joining me in different ways, and it'll be a whole Butler County music party. So why don't they just do a duo thing to get a sense of that?
All right. One we're working on for the next recording is called Buffalo Gals, Pennsylvania version.
I don't know if you saw me watching the clock as you were playing. You probably don't really look at what I'm doing as you were playing. And I wasn't waiting for the song to end or anything, but I was trying to figure out how many beats per minute the tempo was. And do you know?
No.
Well, stumped him.
I would guess around 124 or something
A little faster the way I counted it, at least. I got 44, carry the... No, actually, I got 130. I counted 15 seconds and got, I think, 34 beats. But what I noted, and I was curious about this, is it was pretty much twice an average heart rate. And I've always heard, because that's the reason I did that is I started tapping my foot and almost wanting to get up and dance. And I'm thinking, boy, that's just such a perfect rhythm for that song. It's absolutely perfect. And I've always heard that that is often the case if it's a multiple of a typical human heart rate. I don't know if that's true or not.
Our heart rate was a little faster because we're a little nervous.
But what a good version of that. Did you arrange that, Mark, or did you find
It comes from the Baird Collection, the Source Fiddler. He was a really well-known fiddler in his day, Tink Queer from Westmoreland County, out from Ligonier, actually. When he was in his prime, he won many of the contests in that time. I think he passed away in the late 70s, I believe.
Gosh, what a blessing that somebody cataloged all of these folks.
And then these guys are, otherwise these would just be in books, but they are getting them out in the world with that first CD. And then what's the second CD going to be called?
The second CD is called Up Jump Joe in the Middle of It.
Part of your Up series.
Yeah. Right. They'll be alphabetically collected together. These tunes, you know, these titles, that's another one of the tunes is what we're naming the next CD. They just strike me more so. There's sort of a colorful, you know, humorous anecdote with each one, and I don't know if I find that so much in the rest of the Appalachian genre. You know, there's tunes that are so much, they name a place or they name a person or they're just a little more specific in that way. And these tunes, they just give you a picture right away, like, oh-ho, oh-ho, I found you out. Dogs in the dishes. One of my favorites is John Newgrant come home with a pain in his head.
I always like, you got to stop kicking my dog around, which I think is a Pennsylvania song.
Is that right?
I'm not sure. I think. Do you know the song?
Oh, I remember that. That was a hit back in the 60s.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I was thinking that was done because I heard Dave Christie do it years ago, and I was thinking he found that. It might have just been the style he did it in.
Uh-huh.
I may be wrong about that.
I think the Skillet Lickers did a version of it then.
I think
it goes,
you're right.
It's at least back that far.
I think you're right. That's the voice of Mark Tamsula. Ken and great banjo from Richard Withers there. Ken Waldman's here. And Ken, you've got so many books out too.
I got a bunch of books. Not something since I've been last here, but since 2000, I've had 8 books, 6 poetry collections, a memoir, a kid's book. I was through in, I think, 2006 was it, through the, when Sam Hazo had that international poetry forum, I was through with one of, when I had one of my books come out. So I have the fiddle and I got the books. I also have the mandolin. So should we do that mandolin one? Would that make sense? Because I'll get the mandolin, Mark will get a guitar, Richard will get the flute, and I have this waltz I made up. So that first one that we did that we all played together was a traditional tune. And then this is one from the Bayard collection, but now I also got ones that I've made up. So play one called the Fairbanks Cabin Waltz.
And as you're getting the mandolin, I'll just note that Bill Locke from Finleyville says hello and is happy to be hearing you folks today.
Great to hear from you, Bill.
This, by the way, is a pretty European-style mandolin.
Yeah, it's an old, actually, it's a flat iron, and I don't think they make those flat irons anymore. That company's not around, but there's a story behind all these instruments we could all tell. But I'll just play this waltz called the Fairbanks Cabin Waltz.
Mark Tamsula with a pretty waltz. That's a nice song, just a nice lilting song. And the flute there done by Richard Withers. The instruments are changing again. The guitar is put down by Mark Tamsula, and the mouth of Ken Waldman.
Well, there was the mandolin.
Yeah, the mandolin. Too. Yeah, the mandolin went
mandolin
down.
Mandolin mouth.
Yes.
Well, actually, I was tempted. There was a poem I was going to do, and things you shouldn't confess, but I'll confess anyway. You always do that kind of stuff, you know, your confessions. But
no one's going to hear. Go ahead
I will tell you.
Let me know.
I could have started doing a poem. I go, and then it's going to be Mark and Richard. Richard had never heard that tune until an hour ago, hour and a half ago, and we just worked it up in the other room. And I said, I don't think I want
familiar. Yeah.
So I figured, oh, I could have been reading them. But then I go, oh, they would have been on their own. And I go, oh, I don't want to do that to them. So my mouth is working now.
Now it's working, and it looks like it might be poetry time.
No, should I do a poem?
I'd love to hear a poem.
Well,
I didn't want to anticipate.
I will do. This will be the poem that I would have done with that.
Oh.
And it's funny. I have a poem called Fairbanks Cabin. So that's the Fairbanks Cabin Waltz, and I'm sometimes doing these together, even though I didn't record them together when I've done them both. My father, lifelong Philadelphian visiting Alaska, could only see I drove an old dented van and lived in a small, mean, low-rent dwelling with shabby plywood exterior, peeling front door that couldn't lock, drab, unmatched furniture, fade carpet, ladder leading up to God only knew. House without plumbing where I hauled water from a spring 10 miles away and sat daily to contemplate digestion in an outhouse with styrofoam seat. Father, to have missed the Arctic sky that thrills, the utter privacy and simplicity that comfort, the blueberry bushes that feed, the winter months that teach, the heater that warms, the loft with desk, typewriter, and mattress that realizes my dreams. Father, that you traveled 5,000 miles and missed my being saddens me. I only journey further. What once had been is elsewhere.
It's a great poem.
It's a poem. It's one of the ones I got in my books. So it's in, it's one that's funny. I wrote that and it was pretty easy to write that. And then it really, people say, that's a good one. And I go, well, I guess I should try to write more of those good ones.
It's Ken Waldman. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that poem. And my dad's from Philly, which immediately drew me into that.
Yeah, interesting.
Poem.
Yeah.
He left there, you know, after he graduated high school, but that immediately made me think of him a bit. This is Ken Waldman, his voice you're hearing, and he, along with all sorts of folks, Richard Withers, Mark Tamsula, both who are here right now with us, Ernie Hawkins, Emily Pinkerton,
Don Sheehan.
Don Sheehan. I was going to get them all. Danny Marcus.
Yep, that's the whole group.
And we
got a special guest that's the surprise guest, too. So can't give it all away.
Well, you could tell us. No one else will know if you want.
Oh, I'm not going to. He's tricking me here.
What are the person's initials?
I'm not even going to go that far, but I guess I could. It would be, I think it would be T-O.
T-O. I have to think about that. T-O.
Uh-oh. Well, there's a word game
for
you.
Okay, I'll think about that as you prepare to do what you're going to do next.
You guys want to do your the harmonica one?
Okay.
I didn't know we were going to have a harmonica.
See? We can play that game too there, Larry. We can fool the host.
Look at Richard here. He takes a harmonica out of Tip O'Neill. Not Tip O'Neill. I'm still thinking about T.O.
This is another one of the.
That would be an amazing get, by the way. For a variety of reasons.
Here's another one of the more colorful titles from this collection we're working with. It's called "The Snouts and Ears of America," and I'm going to leave you with that as sort of a puzzle as to what that really means. We'll tell you after the tune. Thank you.
was nice. That had a hornpipe sound to it. I don't know if I'm...
Oh, it's,
I don't know my vernacular very well. I'm not a musician, but...
It sounds very similar to the...
Sailor's hornpipe,
right, yeah. Popeye song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, that is. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
So what do you think? Got any ideas what that tune title means to you, Snouts and Ears of America?
Snouts and Ears of America, it makes me think of hot dogs. and that's the first thing. Pigs, of course.
Yeah, well, the author, the guy who collected the tunes, he visited these fiddlers, and many of them he did have some background, some anecdote about them. He mentioned that he didn't have any clue what this meant, what the title was. This came from the fiddler Sarah Armstrong from Derry, Pennsylvania. But I wish I could remember my source. I may have found this on the internet. If you look at the map of the North American shape, the North American continent, then you can get sort of an image of ears and
oh,
nose.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden that kind of makes sense if there's something, if that's correct, what that the title refers to.
Like I think it's ears, about the map. Yeah, it looked like New England. New England would be the ears maybe, and the snout is the Carolinas or...
Yeah.
It's interesting. I wonder, do you fear that the family traditions for any of this music have stopped? Have the children and grandchildren of some of the people whose songs you collected carried on the tradition?
I'm not aware much. There's only a few people that I know personally, you know, who are carrying on what their fathers did. Joe Yeslovich was a fiddler in days gone by, and I think his daughter and his family are still playing and performing. But for the most part, I think it is sort of ended, and it's sad to say it's, you know, radio that did that.
Yeah, I guess people...
not this program. But
No, not your program. But once people could hear music from outside of their area... I keep bumping this mic, sorry. No. You know... Everything changed. The boundaries shifted, and if you didn't want to play Pennsylvania tunes, well, you could play Texas tunes. You could play, you know, swing music. You'd have so much available to you as a musician that you weren't limited anymore. And that's sort of what preserved all this. Before you had the technology, you had to have a live musician if you wanted to hear music. And so most people just heard the people they knew in their neighborhood or in their family, and that's what kept these traditions going.
I was just thinking, we have, just like to now we have prepared food and fast food. Homemade music gave way to prepared music and fast music, right? and different ways of getting it.
If there are people out there who have families that play some of these tunes, we'd love to hear from people. Because there probably are people who are, you know, here and there who, you know, have these tunes in their family and may not know that they're kind of have been lost to the general public. Of course, we got Ellie here who's she's picking up the tradition and learning some of these tunes. So we'll keep it alive.
How did each of you three, did you have any music in your family that is a tradition you're carrying on?
My uncle played fiddle, but that side of the family was Czechoslovakian, and so the tunes that he played in his day were the traditional ethnic tunes for Slovak dances and things like that, which I never learned. So I didn't learn directly from him, but I'd say I was inspired somewhat to play, knowing that I had musicians. I was encouraged by my mom at an early age to play music. But again, not the traditional stuff.
Same here. My father loved music and played the trumpet, and my brother plays the trumpet, and Ellie plays the trumpet too. She's but nothing traditional like this. My grandparents used to go square dancing, and I remember visiting them in West Virginia and going to some of their square dances. So that's kind of where I heard first heard any kind of traditional music.
I have a poem that says it's like one in a billion that would have me do what I do. So I grew up in suburban Philadelphia. My mother played a little bit of played piano. I had piano lessons when I was 9, quit at 10. In my mid-20s, I was in a house, had a housemate who was a clawhammer banjo player near Chapel Hill. And the fiddle that I'm holding right now, not the fiddle I was playing earlier, this fiddle, at the end of a party, somebody was getting rid of it. Wouldn't know if anybody would buy it for $100 for the fiddle bow and case. And I was in my mid-20s 30 years ago, and that's how I started.
As you gentlemen were talking, you couldn't see me listening here, but I was typing away to Ricky as I was listening to you, because a lot of people are calling and saying, how can we go to hear these guys tonight? Can you repeat that information?
I can say a little bit, and I should have had the phone number with this, but I don't think would help though right now. But if you go to Butler County Community College, was at bc3.edu. There's the SUCCOP, Suckup Theater. You could even go to Ken Waldman. I guess I should go kenwaldman.com. Go to my site. You can see my schedule, and there's information about the show there. And if you have the wherewithal to be listening to Saturday Light Brigade, you probably have the wherewithal to get on a computer and find this. Also, yeah, the show, I mean, there's some flyers. Saturday, February 4th, 8 p.m., from Butler to Barrow. Actually, and when we finish up, I'll have a Barrow poem, because I'm going to be telling Alaska stories with some of this. Ken Waldman and the Secret Visitors, featuring fabulous Pittsburgh blues man Ernie Hawkins, plus the fiddle and banjo of Mark Tamzula and Richard Withers, with the Ace String Band trio of Emily Pinkerton, Don Sheehan, and Dan Marcus. And there's a special guest with the initials T-O.
I keep wondering. Ricky, go ahead and press that button for a second here. There's somebody who wants to say hello. Anne, is it Anne?
Yeah.
Hi. I don't know if everybody else can hear. It's nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear you too.
We're talking about traditions. How old were you when you started listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, do you think?
As early as I can remember. I think my sister listened to it before I was born, and then I picked up the tradition with my mom when I came along.
Well, so. It's really good. And your sister's Lynn, right?
Yep.
And your mom is Susan.
Exactly.
And I remember your mom and your dad and your sister being with us. I'm so glad you're tuned in now. I was just thinking about your mom when we were at a Pittsburgh Cultural Trust event the other day. Now, what are you up to these days?
I'm just home visiting the weekend from college. I go to California University in California, PA, and I came home for an interview at the zoo. So.
Excellent. Do you know who T.O. is, the special guest? I have no idea.
No, I don't.
Well, we'll keep finding out. It's good to talk to you.
Keep in touch. I will. Thank you.
It's not Tony Orlando.
Not Tony Orlando.
No. Or Terrell Owens either. Oh, I have some more news, too. On the back of this flyer that Mark had, says, tickets for this family-friendly show are available in advance and at the door, 724-284-8505 for the box office. And www.bc3.edu/theater/events.htp. But I'll just do that number, 724-284-8505.
Is there another Osborne brother besides Sonny? And there's not an Osborne brother with a T. No.
I know. We could do, you have to start thinking of all the first names that start with T.
I know.
And of course.
Not Mark O'Connor. That wouldn't work.
Could be a Teresa. Could be Tally.
Tally.
Could be
Tony.
Thalia. Could be. I don't know. Could be anybody.
It could be. And actually, I mentioned that to Anne because we used to play a game just like this on the radio all the time. I better be careful. It's 4 minutes before noon.
Can we do one more to give people a taste?
Absolutely. And what I'm going to do actually is, I know Ken, everybody here knows how to do this. I'm going to let you guys play us out. And thank you for being here. And it's tonight at 8 o'clock at Butler County Community College. It's just a great setting for tonight and a great group of musicians.
And folks, I hope, and if you come, say hello. Mark and Richard will have their CD. And then I know Ernie and Emily will have their stuff. I think Don, Dan will have stuff. I know I have books and CDs. I have two kids' CDs and a kid's book. Hope people from Grove City come down. Say hello. Say that you listened and heard it on Saturday Life Brigade.
Oh, that would be nice.
How would that be? Would that be good?
That would be nice.
Oh, God. I could have a show of my own sometime somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And have it kind of like this.
I was listening.
I was calling in today on this show. I was driving. I shouldn't have been driving and calling, but I was. Okay, we're going to play a fiddle tune called Sandy Boys. And since the show's called From Butler to Barrow, I have a Barrow poem with a short story, brief story. So we'll just start playing this. Top of the world for a fellow named Dave Putnam. Finest old-time fiddler north of the Arctic Circle taught me a half dozen tunes I'd immediately forgotten. My fingers might recall if I could revisit the vast Barrow midwinter spring of early May. Past whalers, camp near sea ice ready to crack, I'd again accompany that fiddler on an easy dig into the further histories of our musical race. Till we came to the slow, twisty crookedness of elusive and plain. The first tiny needles on this or that young pine bent and struggling for light up a West Virginia peak. There we'd sit knowing you as we turned over that site again and again. Everything to the south was busy and bud, playing something modal beneath. I don't even have time for the story, but I've gone to Barrow a few times, which is on the far north coast of Alaska, the North Slope. And I'm used to, when I go to those places, being like the only fiddler and the best fiddler. Everybody said, you need to meet Dave. He's good, too. Turned out one winter there was an archaeologist who was in town. Who was a really fine fiddle player. And his wife was teaching at the college for a year and got to meet him and play one night. So here, we're just finish up the Sandy Boys.